This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiaoyik. For most of us, it was tough to keep up with our exercise regimes at home during the movement control order, you know, whether it was due to lack of space, equipment, or perhaps even motivation. But now, as we are moving into the recovery phase of the MCO, a lot of things are easing up. Many of us are actually able to return to our exercise routines. But what we want to do is to make sure that, you know, we do this safely and avoid the risk of injury as our body gets used to a higher level of physical activity again. So to help us, walk us through this process, we have on the line Dr. Gandhi Nathan Sulaya, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Ara Damansara Medical Center. How are you today, Dr. Gandhi?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me.
Dr. Gandhi, for people who have been regularly exercising prior to the lockdowns, and, because of the lockdown, because of the stay-at-home orders, they were forced to reduce the level of physical activity quite drastically. What would have been the effect on the body during that period?
Well, I suppose, yes, the lockdown. I think all of us played our part over the past few months by staying at home and, did our part in the community to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Now, I know that some of us might have tried to keep active as possible by following home exercise programs. Mm-hmm. However, most of us, including those that were regularly exercising, would have had experienced a definitive reduction in physical activity due to the closure of sporting arenas, gym work, inability of running. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about deconditioning, you're talking about deconditioning of the musculoskeletal system. So what do you see? The main one would be, the loss of muscle bulk and mass. And unfortunately, muscle bulk is normally, when you lose it, it's normally replaced with fat. Mm. Muscle also suffers from a loss of contractility and an overall reduction in optimal function. Now, This is you and me. Now, when you talk about high-level athletes, with the MCO, they might also experience a reduction of muscle coordination and muscle memory, due to the fact that they were training a lot. So this also is affected due to the periods of inactivity.
All right.
And I suppose the last thing would be, I'm guilty of this myself, with inactivity and deconditioning, the biggest problem is weight gain. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned muscle contractibility earlier. What does that mean?
So muscle contractility. So, muscle functions by contracting, reducing its length. That's how muscle works. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have a period of inactivity, you tend to lose the number of muscular cells themselves able to perform that activity, therefore reducing its function. Mm-hmm. Right? So now reduction in function can take the shape of either reduction in strength, reduction in force, and also in the reduction of endurance.
Mm. And so would this be something that we can actually experience physically after the body has undergone these changes? Would we actually feel noticeably that loss of strength and force and endurance?
Yeah, absolutely. Take, for example, if you were, say you were an active gym goer, and you were, bench pressing at a certain weight. Yes, absolutely. If you were to be, inactive or unable to perform your exercises, you would notice that you will not be able to perform the prior amount of weight that you were doing and the prior number of reps. That would be a sign that you've lost muscle function due to the fact that you're inactive.
What are the different factors that would affect the extent of all this deconditioning? I mean, for instance, if I had been doing some form of modified physical activity at home, like you said, the home exercise programs and things like that, would the deconditioning be a lot less?
Yes, absolutely. So you take, for example, two different categories, somebody who's completely inactive versus somebody who's doing some form of exercises. Yes, the extent of deconditioning would be found worse off in the person that was more inactive. And when you take back, you know, the easing of restrictions coming down from the MCO, you'd see that patients, people that have been active at least to some extent, you know, able to return to their prior level of function at a faster rate, you know, due to their discipline.
Would the type of activity make a difference? So, for instance, if I were a regular swimmer, swimming was my thing, and that was really something that was really out of bounds during the lockdown period.
Yes, absolutely.
But let's say if I tried to compensate with doing, I don't know, yoga at home.
Right.
How would that make a difference?
Well, okay, that's actually, you're taking a very good point. So swimming, so we try and break it down. So what is swimming? So swimming takes the form of two things. You know, number one, the usage of muscle, where this is, you know, generating a power, you know, to allow you to go through the water. And also with swimming comes the fact that the body has to experience, you know, well, you need a certain level of endurance, so stamina, as we call it. So when you are unable to perform, you know, or do your swimming activity, you'll expect a reduction in endurance, stamina, and yes, you know, the force that you're able to generate with your legs and your hands would be reduced. So you wouldn't be able to swim as well, you know, coming back from it. Now, when you take, for example, yoga as a, you know, as a substitute to an extent, right? Now, it is good in the sense that yoga, especially, does involve a couple of, you know, isometric contraction that allows the muscle to use itself. And very importantly, yoga also emphasizes stretching. So stretching here is important because when you go back, you know, you want your muscles to be pliable, you know. So stretching actually helps you reduce the risk of re-injury when you restart your activity levels again. So, you know, something is better than nothing. So if you were substituting yoga for swimming, you know, well done on you.
All right. You know, now that people are sort of pretty much back to regular routines, have you been seeing patients coming in with sports injuries, or, you know, what are you expecting to see after this period?
Well, that's a very good question. So now, yes, people are restarting, and to some extent, they are restarting at their prior levels without proper reconditioning.
I see.
So yes, we are seeing a few patients that are coming in with you know, ACL tears, tendo Achilles tears, rotator cuff tears, due to the fact that they haven't, you know, achieved proper conditioning prior. So my advice would be, you know, please take a step back. You know, if you haven't exercised during this period of MCO, you've been inactive, you know, please allow your body time, gradually return to your sport, do the, you know, appropriate level of stretching, warm-ups, you know, build up your aerobic capacity by, you know, a couple of jogging and cardiovascular exercises before returning to sports. You know, let's not compound our, you know, happiness with the ease of restrictions, and, you know, give ourselves an injury in the process.
I mean, there's a lot of expectations to be managed, and especially for athletes, for one, or for very avid, let's say, marathoners, people who are doing like really regular exercise. I mean, the downtime would have been so hard for them to take, and now they want to make up for lost time, don't they? I mean, how do they manage those expectations? What kind of a, say, timeline can we set for ourselves?
Oh, that's a good question. Timeline. Well, yes, professional athletes, as opposed to, you know, weekend warriors like myself. Yes, they have, you know, the expectation not only comes from themselves, but also from their team and, you know, and their surrounding colleagues. So when it comes to managing expectations, that's a very, very important point. Like, my advice would be, you know, please set realistic goals. I think the athlete needs to understand that, you know, his or her body does need time to get used to training and exercising at prior levels. So, okay, so for you take, for an example, a professional athlete playing at a league, right? Now, Yes, it is. It is up to him to, get back training, get back with his team. However, this is the importance where communication comes in. You need to establish good relations with the athlete and the team, mm-hmm. and they need to understand that this is going to take time. And therefore, an adoption of a good training regimen would be the best advice. Gradually bring the athlete back to, full elite activity. Mm. Now, the other very important thing here is to make sure the athlete understands that, there is a very important thing on injury prevention and getting the appropriate advice, albeit from from his or her physiotherapist, gym instructor, coach, or even sports physicians or sports surgeons.
Mm. Dr. Gandhi, we have to go for a quick break now, but sure. I think definitely after the break, we need to talk about how somebody who doesn't have the benefit of a trainer, a physiotherapist and all of that, how would we, the average, exerciser or amateur athlete, plan this transition back into a regular exercise routine? How can we actually recondition ourselves? I think it would be helpful to actually sort of go through step by step how we can actually go about that. So I'm speaking to Dr. Gandhi Nathan Soleya, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Ara Damansara Medical Center. We're talking about injuries after the MCO and how we can actually avoid that as we get back to our physical activity routines. So we'll be right back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Ik. On the line with me, Dr. Gandhi Nathan Soleya, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Ara Damansara Medical Center. We're talking about how, during this recovery phase of the movement control order, we are raring to get back to our exercise routines. But how can we do this safely? How can we transition, manage the transition during this period so that we don't end up in a doctor's clinic with tears and sprains and all kinds of injuries. Dr. Gandhi, before the break, you'd already talked about the impact of this sort of the downtime on the body, the deconditioning that the muscles would have gone through. And so, we want to sort of put that in the reverse now and recondition the body. So let's talk about how to actually plan for this transition back into the usual exercise regime. And you've talked about how the biggest mistake would be to, go back to where you left off before the lockdown. So how do we look at getting back into a routine now?
So getting back to routine. Okay, so this is for, normal folks. Someone who doesn't have the benefit of a regular physiotherapist or a gym instructor. Mm-hmm. So the return, in a nutshell, return to sport and return to exercise should be done gradually. Give mm-hmm. yourself time. That's the best advice. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're talking about specifics, now let's talk about two things. Now, number one, main attention should be directed at cardiovascular conditioning. Right. So cardiovascular conditioning, that's, in layman's terms, that's building up stamina. So how do you do that? The best way would be to, have graduated aerobic or cardio exercises. Now, for a, normal person, that would, take the form of, just gentle walks, mm-hmm. Over a period, and then maybe starting, slight jogging or cycling. Mm-hmm. And this intensity and the duration of such activities should be done in a very gradual manner. Mm-hmm. And I would advise generally between about 2 to 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's the cardiovascular side of things taken care of. Now, when it comes, and we were talking about deconditioning, injuries. So injury prevention is something that, people should understand. So again, you're talking about the normal population. How do we prevent injuries? So let's say, an easy way is to just ensure and understand that, you're coming back after a long period of rest. Give yourself time. Do your appropriate stretching and warm-ups. Mm-hmm. And specifically for those who are, people who used to go to the gym, gym rats, mm-hmm. or people think that they want to go back to the gym. When they go back, please try and, discipline yourself. Use the lighter weights. ease yourself up into your normal regimen and, you know, do slightly higher reps, you know, just to build yourself up from there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're talking about normal people. I've always come back to myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I play at Weekend Warrior, playing a little bit of badminton with friends. Mm-hmm. Now, even for guys like me, you know, going back to badminton, always remember that, you know, you want to go back, you want to have fun with your friends, but, you know, your opponent could be, you know, much fitter than you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in your attempt to get every shuttlecock, you could overdo it and, you know, injure yourself. So, again, give yourself time. Do the appropriate warm-ups. Try not to, you know, hit the ground running, as they say, mm-hmm. and take it easy.
Right. You know, Dr. Gandhi, is it safe to actually go back to the gym now? And now I'm talking about sort of in terms of COVID-19. Is it actually safe?
Is it actually safe? Well, I suppose if you take a lot of countries like, you know, Australia, South Korea, there have been stringent protocols that have to be adapted while patients go back to the gym. Now, this is a balance, right? You don't want, you know, mass gatherings within the gym. Mm-hmm. And you want to balance that with, you know, the general health of the community. So I suppose, in my personal opinion, yes, as long as you follow the stringent protocols adopted by the Ministry of Health, you know, by ensuring adequate sanitization, mm-hmm. hand sanitization of the gym goers, that's mm-hmm. the people, and also adequate sanitization of the equipment, mm-hmm. and by ensuring there is appropriate social distancing within the gym, yeah, I do believe it's safe. And, of course, time will tell. But as the community, let's try our level best, follow the SOPs that are there, you know, and try and keep as fit as we can.
All right. So coming back to injuries, who would be at higher risk of developing injuries as they return to their training regime?
Right. So I would expect someone who has been completely inactive, you know, playing Netflix and TikTok, rather than somebody who has been, you know, performing some amount of limited activity to be at high risk.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly age and prior injury does pose oneself at a higher risk. But in particular, when you're talking about, you know, risk of injury, I, you know, special mention to elite and professional athletes. So most of them, you know, they try their level best to get back as soon as possible to prior levels without adequate preconditioning.
Mm.
So, you know, they are the highest category of, you know, risk of injury, be this muscular sprains or even more severely with muscular tears, ligamental tears, and in very severe cases, even fractures.
Mm. And so that would be mistake number one, the biggest one, you know, trying to go back to, you know, 0 to 100 straight away.
That's right. That's right.
What are some other common training mistakes during this transition period?
All right. So common training mistakes that I see, and you know what, I'll be honest, you know, I'm guilty of this myself. So a common training mistake is like, okay, let's take, for example, the gym. You know, you go back, you know, you have set in your mind that, you know, I am a guy that can bench press 60K, no problem. I've been doing it for the last 20 years. Let's do it. Yeah, that is a very big common mistake. So
that's the masculine ego right there, isn't it?
Yes, we are guilty of that, aren't we? And you go in, you put in your weights and you make a scene, and that's, you know, nothing takes away the masculine ego, you know, quicker than that. But, you know, let's not just talk about gym. You know, the other things, any sport can be, you know, you could overdo it. Common training errors, like say for a runner, you know, you are, mm-hmm. say you are a 10K runner and you are fantastic. You are running 10K in under an hour. A common mistake would be to go straight back and, you know, plan yourself 10K mm-hmm. and try to run at that intensity,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, please take the time to understand that your body has unfortunately deconditioned itself if you have, you know, been inactive. So try your level best, build yourself gradually so that you avoid these injuries.
Mm. So you talked about, say, about 2 to 4 weeks for that cardiovascular conditioning to build up the stamina. Let's say after that 2 to 4 weeks, you know, could a person expect then to go back to the pre-MCO levels?
Great. Now, so 2 to 4 weeks, Shawik, that's a very, you know, gray general rule.
Right.
Again, so you know, we are all different. Like, you know, it's a very individual thing. Yes, we do know that deconditioning, this can be reversed. Now, there are a lot of studies out there that actually show that, you know, the time taken to achieve or return to your previous level, you know, roughly it's twice the amount of time that you spent inactive.
Wow. Right?
Yes, absolutely. So there's a lot of gray area here. Some individuals will return faster. Some individuals will take their time. So therefore, it's actually very important to gauge your progress. So take it step by step. You know, don't try and jump into things. Build it up gradually, and always be cognizant. If you have, you know, an ache that doesn't go away, or if you're feeling off, you know, get yourself assessed.
Mm. So the difference between somebody who's able to bounce back faster and somebody who isn't, I guess that goes back to what you said earlier. It depends on what kind of activities you were doing during the downtime.
That's right. You know, to a small or large extent, yes. How well or how fit or how conditioned you were during that period of forced inactivity.
Right. Okay. And so, you know, coming back and, you know, getting back into the routine, I suppose some muscle twinges or soreness is to be expected, but
yes.
How do we know when it's an injury that, you know, needs further attention?
Right. That's a very good point, actually. Yes, you'd expect a couple of aches, isn't it?
Mm.
If you were to jump back into the swimming pool and do your 10 laps.
Mm-hmm.
So now injuries, of course, it could be very obvious, number one. You know, it could be, you know, severe pain, severe swelling, inability to walk. These are obvious type of injuries. And, you know, the patients know this, and they'll come and get themselves assessed. Now, we are concerned about the more subtle signs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, subtle signs, these include prolonged aches. Now, though you'd expect your muscle to ache, you know, if you say you went back, swam 10 laps, you know, if you feel a couple of twinges in your lower limbs, you'd expect them to go away after about 2-3 days. However, if you do still experience this nagging, dull ache, you know, it could be a sign of something more serious. So please get yourself assessed. Other subtle signs or symptoms, this could include, you know, very mild limping.
Mm-hmm.
The person themselves wouldn't actually see it. It would be somebody else who mentions it.
Mm.
And this is in particular in endurance athletes, runners especially, if they are, you know, they notice that their fatigability or their, you know, their stamina level is reduced.
Mm-hmm.
That could also be another subtle sign that there is an injury present. They might be well off, you know, getting themselves assessed.
Mm. You know, I mean, there's some stuff that we can do at home, right? We can do the rest and the ice and compression and all of that.
That's right.
But beyond that point, so what's the, again, you know, after doing that for perhaps a couple of days, is
right.
That safe to say if it still persists beyond that, see a doctor?
Yeah, also, that's a good question. Yes, the best advice, as you mentioned, you know, rest, ice, compression, elevation, very, very general rules, applicable to all, and it's safe. Yes, if your symptoms subside, right,
mm-hmm.
by all means, go back to your, you know, your exercise, go back to your activity.
Mm-hmm.
If you do see this persistent pain or nag, yes, and it doesn't go away even with repeated, you know, resting periods.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. The most sensible thing would be to get yourself assessed. What you don't want is, you know, having a minor sprain turning into a full muscular tendon or ligament tear. You know, that's the fear. So, you know, you don't lose anything by getting yourself assessed and checked out, right?
Mm. And so then to stop the activity temporarily while we get medical attention?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
Like, for example, say you're a professional athlete and, you know, they have their, you know, say like professional footballers for our clubs. They have a very regimented training regime, right? If they were to have, you know, such symptoms, yes, absolutely. The ideal advice would be to stop,
mm-hmm.
assess, get yourself investigated. You know, mind you, it could be done clinically or radiologically.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it is deemed safe, then to go back in a graduated fashion.
Mm.
And then we'll assess them again after a period and see whether they have, you know, performed well or not.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about people who may have had an injury, say, right before the MCO began. There are a couple of things there. Number one, they might not have gone to see a doctor during the lockdown period, you know, being perhaps concerned about going to a hospital and exposing themselves unnecessarily.
Right.
Number one, there would be, you know, that injury may not have gotten the attention that it needed. So what are the issues there with a neglected injury not being treated for, you know, the past 3 months?
All right. So if you're talking about the injury at the start of the MCO, if it was a mild injury, actually the MCO comes with its silver lining. You know, as we mentioned earlier, because you're having a period of enforced rest, that itself could be beneficial, you know, allowing time for your body to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's something more, you know, significant, you know, you're talking about neglected injuries. Yes, this is a problem. And I myself have encountered a few patients with this problem over the last few months during the MCO and even now. Now, it's completely understandable, you know, given the concerns with the COVID pandemic for people to be worried.
Yeah.
Now, while this has set back a number of my patients, I have a few that have seen me during that period. I've operated on them, and thankfully, they've done very well so far. So as our restrictions, you know, our MCO restrictions are easing now, we are seeing more patients with neglected injuries. Yes, it is challenging, but, you know, even from the medical perspective, we understand, like, you know, it is advisable, get yourself assessed, get yourself, seek treatment early. You know, if you need a procedure or you need an operation, get it done early so that you can begin your rehabilitation as soon as possible and get back to your function.
All right. So say that a couple of months of delay in, getting the procedure that they needed, has that significantly set back their recovery period?
Right. I suppose if you were to, you know, have two choices, you know, do I wait, delay myself for 4 months or get myself done as quickly as possible? Yes. The effect of delay, you know, would reduce, you know, muscle bulk, muscle coordination. It will set back your rehabilitation longer.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, we completely understand this. You know, we had something bigger in the background that resulted with this, you know, enforced neglect. So while this is a concern, you know, this was, you know, and to some point this is academic now, you know, because yes, you've gone through the period of, you know, where you couldn't have your operation done earlier, but it doesn't matter. Have yourself assessed now, all right, and try to get the best done at this point in time.
You know, in fact, I've heard of people who had been doing, say, some form of physiotherapy before the MCO, and then, you know, for the previous 3 months, they stopped that physio completely because, again, of concerns of leaving the house. So, you know, that's not a matter of an operation, but, you know, when it comes to the rehab process with physio, I understand that it has to be consistent in order to see the impact.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, consistency is the key. Yes, I've had a few patients who have come in, you know, with low back sprains, and they have halted their physiotherapy regime. Now, some of them have adopted home exercise programs, so, you know, they have actually helped keep their symptoms at bay to an extent. But yes, unfortunately, there are some who haven't gone for any physio at all, and, you know, experience a lot of you know, the negative effects of deconditioning, and therefore now that I see them, at least, you know, thankfully, they can restart their rehabilitation now, and, you know, allow them to progress. The good news is, you know, at least the period of the MCO, the, you know, the severe period of the MCO was, you know, limited to about 3 months. So, you know, while there was some deconditioning, it's not the worst.
Right.
And at this point in time, we hope to see people bouncing back.
Right. So now looking ahead, would you be able to leave us with a takeaway that would help people as they go back to exercise routines?
Takeaway. Well, the best thing is if you're going back to exercise, please do it gradually. That's the most important advice, yeah. Right? You know, set yourself time, set realistic goals, you know, get advice from, you know, if you want to seek advice, get advice from professionals on how you could do this. Always remember, you know, you want to go back to your, you know, level of function, optimal function, you know, regardless whether you're just a normal layman or a professional athlete. Understand that your body needs the time. What the last thing you want is an injury that will set you back or, or worse. Yep. So give yourself time, be realistic about it, and, you know, hopefully all going well. You know, you'll be back jumping around and enjoying yourself in no time.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gandhi. I've been speaking to Dr. Gandhi Nathan Solaya, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Ara Damansara Medical Center, about getting back to an exercise routine after the MCO. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.